today and next three times, a new problem. This is again a linear problem. It is again a linear system, but in this case, differently from all the previous instances of this problem, we are not guaranteed that there are solutions. So what to do when existence and unicity or uniqueness of the solution is guaranteed. A typical case that is frequent, very frequent in applications, is the case when I sketch it graphically. The metric A is rectangular. M equations, N unknowns. We are dealing with complex numbers, so matrix A belongs to the space of rectangular matrices with N rows and N columns. And consequently, x in is in C to the power n, and the known term B is in C to the power n. We don't know if there are solutions, it may be, but this is not sure. A reasonable behavior can be this: we are thinking of minimizing a norm, say the two norm, of the difference between A by X and the known term. Apart from the sign, this is again the residual. This quantity has been called residual in the conjugate gradient method. This problem, the problem of minimizing, with respect to the vector x in the complex vector x, is called problem least linear, the order of the word, linear least squares problem. Why this name? The name is due to the use of the two norm. Because if we call if we denote with R the residual vector, that is A by X minus B, the two norm of this vector, which we want to minimize, if we square, the two norm, in order to avoid the presence of the square roots, we have a sum of m squares of moduli. We want to minimize this, so linear least squares. The first matter to cope is the existence and some instances of uniqueness of this minimum. So, first of all, this minimum exists under very general conditions. The first theorem that you will find.
Are we trying to find the minimum of the norm or the square of the norm?
It is the same. The value is different because we have the power 2, but the values in which this minimum is reached are the same. I remark that always, very often we use the two norm, and almost always we prefer to compute, to minimize, to find the theoretical results for the square of the two norm instead of the two norm itself. The main theorem, I state it exactly, almost exactly in the same way you will find in the PDF file on the website, of course. The fundamental theorem states that, in the order, A, if we call with uppercase X set of solutions, in this case the solutions are not the solutions of the linear system, but are the minimum points of the minimization problem. Lowercase x belongs, is in uppercase x, if and only if the vector x is a solution of this problem. This is another linear system. This is another linear system which is called normal equation system. Il sistema delle equazioni normali. Or shortly, normal equations. Normal equations. This. B, the set of minimum points is non-empty closed and convex.
Closed
and convex. So the sense of this statement is that the set of solutions can contain infinitely many solutions. Soluzioni, nel senso di infiniti, possono essere infinite in certi casi, come vedremo meglio. The third point, C, states that this is simple. Uppercase X contains only one vector, say X star. This is the case of unique solution. If and only if let me use the double implication symbol A as maximum rank. It is better to imagine that the number of equations is greater than or equal to n. So if we are in the rectangular case, we imagine that the number of equations is greater than of unknowns. If we make this is not restrictive, as you guess, in this case, maximum rank of the metric scale is n. Last point. In any case, there is only one X having minimum norm. I write this in a clear form. There exists a vector of an X in the set of minimizing points such that the norm, the two norm of this minimizing point is the minimum of the two norm over the set of solutions in the sense of minimizing point. This means that I am minimizing the residual, or which is the same, the square of the norm of the residual. There can be many solutions. There will be a unique solution in the sense of minimizing point vectors, which has a minimum, which has the minimum possible value of the norm over the set X. So there is at least one solution. This is the simplest case. There can be infinitely many solutions. In this case, we will refer to the best possible choice. Which will be the vector with minimum two norm. Let us prove all these statements, beginning from the first, which is the most important, and the first states the existence of solutions. Not only the reducibility, we could say, of the problem, of the given problem, to another linear system which has always at least one solution. Why? This is not complicated. It is sufficient to start from the function that we want to minimize. The square of the norm of the residual, that is I will omit the symbol of the two norm. We always use in this context the two norm. We are over complex numbers, so the square of the norm of a vector can be rewritten as the scalar product of the complex numbers of the vector itself. Say, we often use it, very often use it, this property, let us recall that this space C to the power m can be expressed as the direct sum, this is a linear algebra, a well-known fact, of a subspace of the vector space plus, in the sense of direct sum, its orthogonal subspace. What does this mean? This means that any vector in this case, say Z, can be expressed in a unique way as the sum of two vectors, the first belonging to the first subspace, the second to the second subspace. So this is in this case in the image space of A, and the other vector belongs to its orthogonal. The property of orthogonality between the two spaces has as a useful consequence that these two vectors, which are called the projection, the projections of Z over the two subspaces, are orthogonal vectors. So if we meet the scalar product between these two vectors, there are the projections, the orthogonal projections, so the scalar product makes zero. Why do we this? Because we can express the norm term B as the sum of its projections, the first on the image of A, the second on its orthogonal subspace. If B2 is zero, this means that the given linear system had some solutions. But in general, B2 is not zero, and this means that the given linear system had no solution. But the composition, orthogonal decomposition of the known term, allows us to understand what can be done in order to minimize the residual. Because if we replace B with the sum of its projections in this formula, we have equal to we put together A by X and B1, and we'll treat separately, differently, the other projection, the mission, the same vector. We expand the scalar product this vector permission itself this by this plus as additional terms we have also the two crossed scalar products which are the first by the second with a minus sign minus the second by the first multiplied by the first. Here we exploit in the other order these two terms are not the same over the complex numbers, they would be the same on the real. But this is not a problem due to the orthogonality. This vector belongs to the image space of A, B2 to its orthogonal. So the scalar product is zero. We here have again a scalar product between two vectors belonging to orthogonal subspaces for the same reason. This is zero. And these two numbers are squares of norms. The first is the square of the norm of this difference, the second is the square of norm of B2. Well, the goal is minimizing this when X is a generic vector of C to the power n. This term does not depend on X. So it can be at least unchanged. It has to be left unchanged. While the first term can be effectively and very in a simple way minimize it. Why? Because this vector belongs to the vector space
the image of A. So there exists not necessarily only one, there exists some X such that A by X is equal to B1. So in this case, the vector is zero, the null vector, the norm is zero, and it is clear that the minimum of c to the power n of the square of the norm of the residual is given by the norm, the square of the norm of the second projection. This proof that minimizing points, minimizing vector exists, and we have also an expression of the value of the mean. So we have partially proven the first point. So we have proven existence. In the first point of the theorem, there was also a very useful hint.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
If X is an element of C to the N or C to the M?
Let me see. And I have here X is here, and N is the number of equations. Every time one has to think what is the right size one is thinking of. A hint that, which is also a computational tool in order to solve the problem, the so-called normal equations. From the result we have just proved, we find the explicitly the normal equations in this way. We have just found that X is a solution in the sense that it is clearly to say minimizing point, è un punto di minimo, or vector, is a minimum vector, a minimizing vector, when we have this. While X is a solution of this linear system. If we multiply both sides by A to the H, we found this the problems with we don't know who is B1. We know B. But we immediately notice that this vector is also equal to the product of the same matrix, the conjugate transpose of A by B, because B is B1 plus by 2, if you perform the product between the first term, which is the right term, plus the zero vector, since Here we have the scalar product, the scalar products. We can write also, maybe it's better if it's not here. Here you see the scalar product of the vector v2 by the columns of A. But V2 belongs to the orthogonal space, as A orthogonal, the orthogonal subspace with respect to the image of A. So we have again the advantage of given by orthogonality. This vector is orthogonal to all the columns of A. So this vector is zero. So this term vanishes, and we can write, we have found the normal equation system, which can be constructed with known data. We have here the matrix A, the conjugate transpose. So this matrix is square. This is M, N by N. Is square with the smaller size, with respect to the two sizes, the two original sizes. This is N by N. This is long N, belongs to C to N. Due to the way we have obtained this linear system, we know, we are sure that this system necessarily has solutions. Moreover, we can say this till since from now, the matrix A H by A is Hermitian, semi-positive definite, remarks on this system. This matrix has obtained in this way. A is its conjugate transpose. It is Hermitian. This is trivial, it's by construction. It is also semi-positive definite. It has also another simple property. It is not necessarily non-singular. Matrix, this matrix, maybe it is singular. We also know, we prove this immediately, that its rank, rank de la matrice H, of this matrix, is equal to the rank of A. Why is this an exercise of linear algebra? It follows by the equality between the dimensions of the kernels, of the null spaces of that of those matrices.
We know that the rank of a matrix is equal to the number of columns minus the dimension of the kernel or null space. This holds for this matrix and naturally also for A. The columns of A are again n. Here we have the null space, the kernel in nucleo the R. If we prove that these two numbers, these two integers, are the same, we have also that the two ranks are the same. So it is sufficient to prove that this is also called nullity of the matrix. The nullity of the matrix, of this matrix, is equal to the nullity of the matrix, the given matrix A. This follows from, let me see, the subspaces themselves are the same. Why? There is one obvious inclusion the kernel, the null space of A is included in the null space of this matrix. This is true for any product of two matrices when the second matrix is equal to this. In this case, anyway, if you have A by X equal to zero, if you multiply this vector by AH, you will have again zero. So this is trivial. The other inclusion if I start from a vector in the null space of the second matrix, so I start from this, then I multiply it by X Hermitian on the left, this is the square of the norm. If the norm of a vector is zero, you know this can happen if and only if the vector is zero, so we have that the vector X belongs also to the second, to the other null space. So why we make this remark? Because the properties of the solution set of the normal equations system is connected with the rank of the original matrix. I mean that if the rank of a given matrix has the maximum value, which is n, then this matrix is non-singular, it has again rank n by this property. So we are in the case of unique solution of the normal equation. Unique solution of the normal equation. This means unique solution of the linear least square problem, unique minimizing point. Otherwise, the case of rank, which is less, we have a deficient rank case. Otherwise, infinite solution, infinitely many solutions. So, infinitely many minimizing vectors. It is clear that the problem, the linear least squares problem, has always solutions, possibly infinitely many. A last remark before stopping. It is possible to obtain the normal equations also with the analytic tools instead of geometric tools. We found the normal equation by using the direct sum, the projections, and so on. If we restrict ourselves to the field of real vectors, real matrices, real vectors, we can also use the conditions for minimum points of convex functions. Which are the convex functions in this problem? Well, you can express the residual. Residual is a function of x. It is the norm. Square of the normal residual. We have already written this quantity as this scalar product. Now we expand without using projection. We are on real numbers, so we are dealing with the real case. We cannot conjugate. If we expand without using projection, we have this product again. Plus this product. Then we have the two mixed crossed terms, minus this, minus the t is here, and we have this. The metric is not symmetric, so these terms, also in this case, are not necessarily equal. This can be seen as a function of x. If we are searching the minimum, we can apply the necessary condition over the gradient of this function. The gradient is easy to write, we have 2 by this matrix by x minus again 2, yes, we have x, this is our linear terms, so in the gradient we will not see anymore the x. There are 2 terms, the result is this. Is this. We can easily check if we have not yet met this kind of situation. This is a quadratic function. The gradient has to vanish in the minimum point, so we find immediately the normal equations. Moreover, we observe that since the Hessian matrix of this function phi of x is this, this matrix, we have already said this, is semi-positive definite. The solution of this system will give a minimum point since the function phi is convex. Find a result of existence and uniqueness of the minimum value, not the uniqueness of the vectors x, but the okay, this is the first point of the main theorem. We stop here for 10 minutes. Domande? We will, after the main theoretical result, we will develop four methods for solving the problem. The first is already been given, the normal equations. The second is a special instance of the QR factorization. The third is totally new. And a special decomposition is used, which is called SVD decomposition. Use of SVD decomposition. And the fourth is an adaptation of the conjugate gradient. Why is it possible to apply the conjugate gradient method? Because the matrix of the normal equation system is also in the complex case, but in the real case, sorry, we will confine ourselves to the real case, is symmetric positive definite. semi-positive there. Okay, we stop here for a while.